بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Reading from the Kitab Fadhail Amal, from the virtues of the glorious Quran. Hadith number 23. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr radiyallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Fasting and the Quran will both speak to Allah Ta'ala for the obedient person. The fasting will say, 'O Allah, I stopped him from eating and drinking during the day, so you accept my begging for him.' The Quran says, 'O Allah, I stopped him from sleep at night, so you accept my dua for him.' Thus the duas of both them will be accepted." Hazrat Abdullah ibn Amr radiallahu anhu reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Fasting and the Quran will both speak to Allah Ta'ala for the obedient person. The fasting will say, O Allah, I stopped him from eating and drinking during the day, so you accept my begging for him. The Quran says, O Allah, I stopped him from sleep at night, so you accept my dua for him. Thus the duas of both of them will be accepted." This hadith also tells us that the Hafiz should read the Quran in Nafil Salah at night. The Quran itself, in many places, we are encouraged to read the Quran in Salah at night. Some ayat are given below. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن الليل فتهجد به نافلة لك عسى أن يبعث ربك مقاما محمودا. And keep awake for some part of the night for reading it in tahajjud salah. وَمِنَ اللَّيْلِ فَاسْجُدْ لَهُ وَسَبِّحُ لَيْلًا طَوِيلًا. And worship Allah in a part of the night and praise Him during the long night. يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. They read the ayat which were revealed by Allah during the night, and they go into sajda before Him. Thus Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his sahaba radiyallahu anhum sometimes spend the whole night in reading the Quran. It is reported that Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu anhu that sometimes he read the entire Quran in a single rakat in his witr salah. In the same way, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Zubair radiyallahu anhu used to read the entire Quran in a single night. Sa'id ibn Jubair radiyallahu anhu read the entire Quran in two rakats inside the Kaaba. Thabit Bunani and Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu used to read the entire Quran in one day and night. Some ulama say that the Quran should be completed once every month, though it is better to complete it every week, as was the practice of most of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Allah give us the tawfiq. Reading from the Kitab Mu'asharat, Islamic Social Etiquette. Continuing with the etiquette of the masjid. Number 16. Ensure your cell phone is switched off before entering the masjid. Detailed etiquettes will be mentioned in a separate chapter, meaning regarding the cell phone. Number 17. If you are late for salah, do not run, but walk briskly to the masjid. If you fear that you will miss a rakah, then too do not run. It is against the etiquette of the masjid, causes a disturbance to others, and does not allow the person who is out of breath to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correctly. Number 18. Latecomers should not climb over the shoulders nor step over the necks of those already seated. Instead of receiving reward, they are actually making a bridge towards Jahannam. Number 19. As we are utilizing the facilities of the masjid, we should place some money in the masjid collection box to cover our costs as well as those who cannot afford it. Next chapter, etiquettes of i'tikaf, seclusion in the masjid. Number 1. A person in i'tikaf should not pass wind in the masjid. He should go outside just as he does when having to call the answer the call of nature. Number 2. The mu'takif should utilize majority of his time in ibadah, tilawa, and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The object is to build his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abstain from bringing a cell phone or computer. Much valuable time is lost by engaging with them. Playing computer games, etc. is prohibited outside of the masjid. out of the masjid. In the masjid, the sin is severer. Number three, whatever is prohibited regarded as a major sin during normal times should be avoided to a greater extent during i'tikaf. Example, speaking lies, telling false, taking false oaths, mocking someone, backbiting, acting proudly, fault-finding, ostentation, etc. Besides this, do not cause inconvenience to anyone and do not fight or argue. Number four, abstain from any form of political discussion and from discussing any worldly talks, since this is makruh and sinful. Due to these discussions, a person's good deeds are destroyed. Number five, abstain from joking and laughing as well as sitting in groups to pass time. These actions disturb others, which is a great sin. Number six, abstain from smoking and utilizing any intoxicants. Number seven, abstain from doing such action which will create disarray in the masjid or the program, or which will lead to noise. This will lead to disturbance in the ibadah and the rest of the others performing i'tikaf. Number eight, do not bring any radios, weapons and newspapers into the masjid. Number nine, place a pure cloth over the carpet of the masjid so that the masjid floor is not soiled. Place a dastarkhan, a cloth, whenever eating. Number 10. The lights, fans, air conditioners, etc. will be controlled by an appointed person. No one should interfere with these things without permission. Do not interfere in the management of the masjid. Number 11. During i'tikaf, if there is a complaint or a problem, then refer the matter to the person in charge or the one appointed by him. Inshallah, we'll continue.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. Just want to add a few points of the Jummah Bayan by Maulana Musa, which we all should take serious. It's not the Jummah Bayan, it's not there just to pass the time or just for sawab we listen to the Bayan, but really we should think of it to bring it into our lives. And the points, we will just revise them again. What was the first point Maulana mentioned? Yeah. We seem to have forgotten already. And how are we going to make amal? We should try and remember. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, always keep a diary and note it down. Otherwise you'll get diarrhea. Everything will just go out. So we must note it down. And then we will remember. So the first point is the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. And whatever our zikr is prescribed. If we are not bayat to a shaykh, then the three tasbihat, third kalima, durood sharif, istighfar. We do that. Or we in jamaat and we are not bayat to a shaykh, we do that. That is sufficient also. But it must be completed also. Now we get, this is the complaint of all of us, that we don't complete our zikr. And flimsy excuse, it's the zikr is left out. So, and we see that those people who got where they got, it was all with the regularity, punctuality of zikr. Maulana Abdul Hafiz Bakki, Rahmatullah Ali, explained once, he went to Nizamuddin and he met Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib. And at that time, Hazrat had heart problems and the doctor advised him to walk. So he said, I walk, if you want to, you join me. They were like friends. So they went and Humayu Kabristan, which is just near Nizamuddin. So they went there, and at the entrance there are two pillars on the side and small little like rooms in there. So Hadraji said, Hadra Mala Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, to make my tarbiyat, to nurture me, he prescribed 120,000 times zikr of La ilaha illallah and also Allah, I think. Or the other, whatever he had prescribed. He said, according to seasons, I should come and sit here. And by about 10 o'clock, or in winter, by Zohar, I should finish it. So, and you should do it regularly. Also, Hadrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali's grandmother, she used to read 40 suparas every day. And if we see her wazifas, We won't even manage those wazifas, how much wazifas she should complete. And 40 sufaras a day in Ramadan she should read. So this is, we have to be regular. Now a question comes here, this little bit I wanted to add, that how do we become regular? Everything we want to do, this, all these five prescriptions are to gain the love of Allah tabarak. And if we have gained the love of Allah, everything will get done. So we just have to act on this five. But now, for example, we didn't remember also. Now, how are we going to be regular with our zikr? So our elders say, all we have to do, this mujahada we must make. Today our mujahada is not to eat dry bread and water. Our mujahada is not to go and sleep in the felt or in a cave or something. This is all our mujahada. Just that you make sure that I do it. Now nafs won't want to, many occasions, nafs won't want to, we must make sure. That is our mujahada. And what we are required, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا, who make mujahada in our path. This is that mujahada for us. That we must just make sure that we do it. No matter what happens. So if we start moving like this, and we make our sure that every day, and the best is, we fix a time for it. According to our own timetable, our own table, our own roster, we fix the time. But then every day make sure we do it in that time. Because if we don't do it in that slot, it's going to be left out. Unless sometimes it happens, then finish it later. When Jamaat we saw, that Jamaat we know usually, after Gersh, Bayan, eating, it's already about 11, 12 o'clock. But we saw those brothers that after everything, they will sit and complete their zikr. The old workers, they would sit and they would complete their zikr, only then will they go and sleep. So we have to be regular. And this is what our mujahada is. So Allah give us tawfiq that we may take it seriously. Not just that we came here, we were there for i'tikaf in this year or something. No, we came for our Islam. I need it, all of us need. And we need it till maut. And we have to try and start with somewhere. And this is, we make that mujahada to make our zikr, complete our zikr every day. The second point was, the ni'mat of Allah, tabarak wa ta'ala. No, sohbat al-sadiqin. That is also very important. And wherever we are, we can get the benefit of the company of the pious people. For example, we are living in a small village. Maulana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi has written so much to this extent that if a person is living in a place and there is no one that is like pious, just go inside by the muazzin. He's calling people five times a day. Okay? Many times when we say this, people smile. That is a muazzin, now a pious person. Of course he's a pious person. And in a place where there is no one else of piety, he's a very pious person. He's an extremely pious person. So the ulama in our town, whoever, if our sheikh is not there, we are living somewhere, we meet them. And with the niyat that I'm meeting a pious person, and his piety must rub off onto me. And to whatever level it will come. And Allah Ta'ala deals also not to how the other person is, the sheikh, etc. But Allah deals with a person according to his intention. If our intention is like that, we don't have to worry how the sheikh is or how he is or how this person is. That is different. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Shaykh al-Hadith, should hardly ever talk anywhere. His bayans are his kitabs, full of bayans. But in Ramzan, then also his majlis used to be about half an hour before Isha, when we were there. And silent majlis. Hazrat wouldn't speak a thing. But only one, two occasions he would speak. And that also, very, very, just not like a lecture, just like a little advice. One of that, he used to say, there was a great, great sheikh. After he passed away, his son sat in the khanqah, but his son was not fit in any way whatsoever. He knew nothing, no Islam, no, he was far from deen. So two people heard of this great sheikh, but that he has passed away, his son is there, his son must be even greater. So they came and he said, want to become bi'at? He hardly knew how to make bi'at or anything. So he said, yes, I made you pull bi'at. Now they ask, wazifas, what must we do? He said, I got a piece of ground somewhere out in the jungle, you must go and plow it, dig it. So they went. They were serious. And they started digging and plowing that land. Allah Ta'ala let them reach a very high stage. They saw Allahu Akbar, where we reach. But they say, we can't see our Shaykh anywhere. So they thought the Shaykh is even more higher. Like we say, when you look up, your head falls down. So high they looked. They didn't see him anywhere. They came and tell him, Hazrat, your position is so high that we can't even see where you are. So he said, what my position? And that became the cause of his hidayat. And he changed his life. These people could reach where? And he saw their condition. That if I do a little bit, I will also reach. So we will meet whoever we think is a pious person. And we sit with them. And even the ladies. There are many ladies also who are pious in the various places. The ladies must go and sit by them. Or we go for the weekly ta'aneem also. All have got together for a very noble purpose. Allah and Warat will descend there. And whoever they are, people who are very pious in the ladies, they can benefit in that way. So in this way, this Sohbat al-Salihin. Make it a point that we do this wherever we are. We will benefit tremendously. Thirdly, the ni'mats of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Think of the ni'mats. As Maulana explained, that we just blindfold ourselves and think, just then see how it is. So the ni'mats of Allah ta'ala, and ni'mats are, and for this also, we talk about it, everything, but then we it just slips our mind. We don't do it. So, we had one good friend, and in fact he was the person who wanted to build this whole masjid. He did the foundation, and then Allah Ta'ala took him away at a young age, about 40, he passed away. Anyway, he was such a wealthy person. In those days when there was hardly a millionaire, he was amongst the very few. But he was so simple. I'll mention a few things of him. We all will benefit, inshallah. One was that he used to go on a Sunday, which was a public holiday, Yawm al-Ahad, would go to the Qabristan. And a grave that was dug, he would lie down there inside. And he would think that now that I'm dead, Munkar Nakir are coming, they are questioning me, etc. He was a person of that kind. But if you see him, you won't give him 1 point also. But that is his haqiqat and reality. And Allah Ta'ala save us, we judge a book by its cover. We just see somebody with a beard, kurta, big farishta. And other people, they are written off. But there are so many people, what their position is by Allah Ta'ala. He used to come to the masjid, he had cars, he had many cars. And he should come to the masjid on a bicycle. Otherwise, he should come walking. He should come barefooted. And in the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, occasionally walk barefooted also. The Qadi of Egypt, Misr, in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, a person went and visited him. So he found him that his hair is disheveled, not combed and not right. So he asked, you're the Qazi and you are like this? He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that we must not be so particular about our hair and that all the time we are just combing and that. Doesn't mean we stay untidy also, but that is also a position. Then he saw him without shoes on his feet. He says, you haven't got any shoes also on? He says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised us to walk now and then barefooted also. So this person should come like that also. On one occasion, Allahu Akbar, he was going back from the masjid in Isha. It was a winter night, cold, and he should sit a bit while make his dhikr, wazifas, etc. When he was going back, he met a beggar on the road. The beggar said, boss, won't you give me a pair of shoes? He took out his own shoes he gave him. Then he said, boss, you won't give me a pair of trousers? He literally took out his trousers. He had underpants, and he gave him his trousers also. Then he went to a friend of his, who was a Maulana, knocked on the door. Maulana was having coffee and popcorn. Nice winter night, cold, nice. So he said, who is this now? So late at night on a winter night here. And we having coffee and popcorn here. So anyway, it was this friend. He said, give me a pair of shoes, sandals, and give me a trouser. I'll go home without shoes and trouser. Then what, I'll have big problems at home. So you give me a pair of shoes and some trousers. So a person who was like this, we will say a businessman, full time, but this is Well, I'll just mention one, two other things. We usually talk of our great buzurgs, which they were. But this is an extraordinary person. When you see him, you'll never ever give him 1 point also. Which that time there was no Darul Uloom here, nothing. We should make namaz in the Jami Masjid. Many occasions we should go, he should visit us, quite often he should come. Then after namaz, we're going out. Then he would give me a 20 rand, and that time 20 rand was the biggest denomination. Like today is 200 rand, that time 20 rand was the biggest. Then he told me, give this to the masjid, because he called me to the masjid. Then afterwards, going a few steps further, he should take out another 20 rand. He said, put it in the masjid box, like we read in the adab now. Then we should think of that also. The facilities we are using, he said, I flush the toilet. It's water, expensive. Somebody is going to pay for it. Why must somebody pay for me? Like if somebody come and think you're a poor person and give you 2 rand, you'll feel offended. But when we flush the system, we don't feel offended. We are using also somebody else's money. He said, I made wudu, I use that water. I use the towel, that also I use. The musallas get worn out, so put 20 rand there. And I gave it, I didn't keep it, eh? I put it there. But anyway, see, this is the caliber of some people, and we have to take lessons from these people. So, now where did I... Yeah, muraqabah. He should make that muraqabah. So he should go and lie down in the qabr. So Allah give us tawfiq. These things are not small things. They are very, very big things. May Allah give us all tawfiq, and we work on this. On the other points which Maulana mentioned, the zikr, sohbat, ni'mat, and then dua. Eh? Ask ourselves also, how every day after Maghrib we make dua. How many of us ask Allah for His muhabbat? That I want the love of Allah. And when you will ask, that is a sign that you want that love. You are now proving it. So, and that doesn't come from our side, it comes from Allah's side. That tawfiq of making that dua is from Allah's side. And that is the sign Allah wants to give you His love. So we should do that also. So that is also very important, our dua. And as Maulana mentioned, that if we ask Allah Ta'ala for everything, but we didn't ask Him, then we ask nothing. We ask of Allah, koi mujhse puche, main kya mangta hoon, main apne khuda se khuda mangta hoon. That if Allah becomes ours, everything is ours. So we have to ask for that also, that dua also. So in other words, we, like for example, a patient is in the hospital, we make all our efforts, this doctor, this hospital, this treatment, we ask people to make duas, we also make duas, everything we do, we are making khidmat of the person also, can also taking food, seeing to his comfort, but we are making dua also all day. And we are asking how many other people to make dua. Also ask ourselves, how many times did we ask somebody else to make dua for our islah, for our muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala? So when we have something desperate, Allah save us all, got a court case, a patient in the hospital, everyone, we are phoning, please make dua. And give me some wazifa also, how I can get this. So for Allah's muhabbat also, Allah put it into our hands. And then we try and fulfill every command of Allah Ta'ala. And Maulana made it very easy also, that those that we can do, which are within our, do them. Allah will open further roads. We will go further. And the things which Allah has forbidden us from, stay away from those things. For some people still we feel that is too hard. I can't give it up. That habit of mine. Do what you can do. Do how much you can do. Yusuf alayhi salam could only do so much to run till the door. He had no, nothing, tools or anything to open the door. He ran till there and the door opened. Until today the door opens. There's automated doors in shopping centers, at the airports, etc. You just go till the door. You see it's a closed door, but you go till there and the door will open. And really, do all this with Allah Ta'ala, not to test Allah. To trust Allah. Allah put that in us to trust Allah. You will open the door for me. And then we go, everything, Maulana made it very easy. At least the things that we can save ourselves from, make sure we save ourselves. The things we can do those things. Allah will open the further ways also. Allah will open many other roads also. So Allah give us all tawfiq that we move in this direction. Just one thing I'll mention. I saw Brother Jabir, Maulana, that he mentioned one incident to me, one brother, about 13 years old, he accepted Islam. and he saw a Jamaat, and then it came in his heart. He just said how it also. When he put his trust in Allah, he stayed in the Markaz, he learned Deen. He was from Togo, West Africa. And then he's gone back there, and he travels every week, that we think we are doing Khidmat of Deen, let us see what is Khidmat of Deen. He travels 600 kilometers. He goes to one place on one day. And then all the people there, how much thirst they have got for Deen. All they come back to that one masjid. Then he gives them, he listens to the last week's sabak, gives them front sabak. Next day he's gone another 100, 150 kilometers. There all the brothers gather there. Like this, about six places he covers. So after 1 week they get sabak again. But look at that thirst. Now mashallah, Maulana, he's from Reunion, affluent. Living in great comfort. His firm intention is to go there, where you won't get a proper, I don't know if you'll get a toilet also, in the jungles, forget a proper toilet. And these sacrifices, people are making these great, great sacrifices. And we mentioned about one sheikh, Arab sheikh also, when in Sierra Leone or somewhere, he saw a fire in the distance when he went out for a drive with his family. And he went there, they had lit a fire in the intense heat of the African desert just to get light to learn, and they were learning Quran Sharif. What the sacrifices in the world. We got Maulana from Burundi also, Maulana Khalil. The whole Burundi and Tanzania also, where they go. And what work in the whole work, alhamdulillah, a work of Deen is carrying on. And everywhere in the world. So Allah Ta'ala accept us for all this, and that we make our intention in this way. So these five things, they really, really very practical, very easy. Only one thing from our side, make that mujahada. And our mujahada is so easy. The mujahada, we hear of the previous people, students, buzurs, what they went through. We can't hear it. Our mujahada is only to do it at that time. That's all. And then everything else will get done. May Allah give us all tawfiq.